and ask you how it all began. I mean, I don't know how much you know, actually, of how it all began.
What, adopting us?
Yes, I mean, do you know anything about your parents or anything like that?
No,
that was kept from you, really, was it?
Yeah. But Mother did produce a little gold chain, the fun little imperfect pearls, and others. And she said to me, she must have shown this to me when we were very, very small, 5, 6, in Canada, this was. And she said, now, Mary, this is yours, this is from your own mother. She very emphasises. And then he put away a little blue box and it was gone. We didn't see it again for years. And she got these cabin trunks, which we took all around the world. And so years after, it must be a long time, I must be 12 just before she died, I suppose. And I said to her, where is that thing that you said belonged to my mother? She said, fancy you remembering that. I said, well, my dear, I really don't know some of this, you see. So anyway, before she did die, she did find it again. She said, this is yours, and remember, it is yours only. It's not for me, it's your mother's. And it was quite a good little piece. So I've always thought that my mother was somebody the mother knew, Mrs. Bankers.
I see, yeah.
That's my fable in my mind, just, yes, you know, yes. But it's maybe just a fairy story. Yes. Anyway, they went to Tower Cressy. She started Tower Cressy.
Yes.
One of the people who wanted to start Tower Cressy. For, I suppose, was it war babies?
Yes, that's right. Yes, it was.
And orphans or illegitimate children.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, went to Tower Cressy and she saw, I think I was the first one she saw, must be about 6 months old, I suppose, and I suppose she said, well, she was thinking of adopting children, and then she said, I'll have that one. Sounds like choosing kittens.
Where did she find you? I mean, where were you?
We went to Tower Cressy, I think.
We were all
in Tower Cressy.
I see,
and she
yes.
Said, and I'll have that one, I'll have that one. So whether she thought she had the money to do it, I don't know. So she took three of us, again, rather like kittens, and took us off to something crescent. Never mind.
Yeah.
Something crescent. And we all lived there with our nanny. That's Miss
all
Pine.
Three of you?
That's Kate Pine.
Oh, yes, the nurse. Nurse Pine. Yes.
She was Auntie Kate to us.
Yes.
And she was like a nanny.
Yes.
So there we were, three of us. And then, of course, Christabel was either with her or what to be like. And she adopted Elizabeth, so it was four of us. And we brought up off and on together. But we three were mothers, really. And Christabel had Elizabeth.
So you were all brought up and looked after by Nurse Pine,
yes,
really?
Yes, Kate Pine. I can't really say that for Elizabeth, because I can't remember when she was there and when she wasn't, because she was. We were all the same age, but she was Christabel's arrangement.
I see, and you all came originally from Tower Cressy?
Yes,
and then,
that's right.
And this was in London someplace,
yes,
was
London.
It? What was there then? I mean, was it a flat or what?
No, she had a London house.
It was Mrs. Pankhurst's London house, wasn't
it? No, I believe Mr. Mitchell has got a photograph of this. We were, I remember this, we must have been very small, and we had to run down some steps and kiss Mother on the pavement as she was going away and come back at a taxi door. And we did this several times until, I suppose, the photographer got it right. That was a long time ago, but I believe Mr. Mitchell has got a photograph of that, which is most artificial, it's supposed to look spontaneous. The old mother, darling. Anyway, that's three of us. Yeah.
What's your first sort of recollections of Nurse Pine, first of all? I mean, she was the person you saw
Auntie
most
Kate,
of, I
yes,
suppose.
Auntie Kate.
You called her Auntie Kate,
yeah,
did
Auntie
you?
Kate, yes.
Did you? I see.
She
was with you all the time.
All the time. She went across to Canada with us. Really, of course, she loved Mother. She was devoted to Mother. She didn't care what happens about us children. She was just doing it because she loved Mother so much. She went across to us, with us to Vancouver and Toronto, and then we went to Bermuda. What's it, 24, 25, 27, this age was, and she came home, and then the other children, we all went to Bermuda, and the other children came back from Bermuda to be adopted. That was Kathleen and Joan.
Mm.
Really, I should think Mother must be feeling a pinch by this time.
Oh, she was.
I realised she couldn't keep it up, you see.
Yes. But, so you were all brought up really like one family, all four of you in a way. The three of you.
I cannot say about Elizabeth because we knew her all these years, but she was never included with us, and the punishments weren't the same for her, and privileges weren't the same for her. So we were quite different rule all the time.
So what was Nurse Pine like? You say she wasn't really doing it for you. Was she good with children?
Strict. Terribly strict. But really like an old-fashioned nanny, but she wasn't really a nanny, she was a nurse, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
And she was. She looked after Mother in the cat and house bill.
That's right.
And kept on rescuing her. She must have adored Mother, and she did.
Mm.
And she was very strict, and we brought up exactly rather like Victorian people. I told this, a lady foot rang me up about this, I think her daughter, Jill Craigie, was right.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And She rang about the father and said, "Is this genuine about your love, your happiness of children?" I said, "Yes." And we were always dressed up for tea, dressed up in our best to-dos and our hairbrush and everything, and brought down to see Mother. And if we weren't good, we didn't get to see Mother. And that's the greatest punishment you could have given us. It was dreadful if we didn't see Mother that day. And that's how we were brought up. All day Mother's doing her talking or her speaking, she's speaking, and 4 o'clock, 4:30, we were brought down to see
her. So you really normally saw her every day?
Yes,
every day. Did you really?
Yes.
Just for an hour or so?
Yes, I guess. Rather polite, perhaps, because there might be lots of people in the room, and you know, we had stuff around because pretty well brought up, you see.
Yes. So, how did you get taught then, Mrs. Hodgson? I mean,
that's just it. We didn't. I went to school when I was 13. That's the first time I saw a school. And I must be a most eccentric child because the other children thought it was very odd, but my behaviour was odd because I had no idea of putting my hand up and saying, "Yes, I know that," or "I don't know." But we read. We just read. And we had governesses off and on. This is in Canada when we, how old were we, 5?
Yes, I see.
We got away to Canada. And we had governesses off and on. They never stayed long. I think they must have been frightful children, you know, incorrigible children. But we read and read and read.
What sort of things, I mean?
Well, a lot of it was the Bible, because the Bible was carried around. We couldn't carry an awful lot, but the Bible was carried around. Shakespeare was carried around with us, and things like this. And all the classics, Thackeray, Dickens, this stuff. And we read it. We devoured everything we could read. We must have been hungry to learn, I suppose, really, we children. And Auntie Kate used to give us funny little odd lessons, like, almost like pot hooks, if I remember rightly. We were learning to write. This kind of copper plate writing, I remember doing that. And then, as I said, we had these governesses off and on. They couldn't have stayed long because I can remember about 5, roughly. And they must have had a very temporary arrangement with Mother, a month here and a month there.
It sounds extraordinary, really, because you haven't got any normal education at all.
No, we didn't.
Do you think they had special ideas, or odd ideas, about upbringing children? I mean, were they trying to...
I don't know. I believe Christabel did PNEU with Elizabeth.
Yes.
She was on different poles of the tech mother. She was talking down in Boston, other fashionable style down Boston, New York. She was all not there, just in that, doing that. Always with Elizabeth.
Yes.
But so her range was quite different.
Yes.
But, we spoke French. That's one thing we did do. But Mother spoke very fluent French. She was a rather beautiful French speaker. And we did speak French. We were taken out to Canada by Mademoiselle. Mother had already gone out to Canada. And we were taken out via Panama by Mademoiselle. And so we spoke French equally with English. And that was a great advantage. And up to 10 years old, not even more, you could spoke into another language. Which was quite good, you see.
What, to Aunt Kate as well as to your mother?
No, she didn't. But Mother would speak to us.
I see.
And we always had somebody French around us. But of course, up in Toronto and Co., we would easily have a French person around. Then we went to France, Mother and Christopher and Elizabeth and I, and again we spoke French bilingually.
So in some ways, you had a very good education, but in other ways, not.
We were terribly advanced. You know, when I did get to school, I had a frightful time. I couldn't add up two and two, and I couldn't take away. It was as simple as that. But you see, in English or world affairs, anyways, I was right ahead, frightfully precocious. And I would even argue it was something I didn't know how to behave in school. I see myself now, as I said, "Oh no, but he did do so and so and so and so and so," and I'd expound really heavy stuff, and they'd be astonished, but not at all pleased, you see, I'd take the stage.
You were sort of precocious or backward, but not in the middle.
Frightful, yes.
Yes, I see. Yes.
But then, my guardian, who I realised I'm a very wise lady, a miss, a spinster, and she got me into a smaller private school who pushed me. And from the age of 13 to 16, I got junior Cambridge and then senior Cambridge. That's pretty good. Mm. It was at three and a bit years.
So in a way, you probably feel quite grateful to Mrs. Pankhurst in a way, do you? Because she...
Oh, yes. It just shows that an eccentric upbringing can do it.
Yes.
When you're travelling around, we're listening to people talking all the time.
Yes.
And of course, we had books. We read and read and read.
Yes, tell me about that. I mean, how did your Aunt Kate encourage you to read then? Was it who pushed the books on you?
It was Mother.
How did she do it? I mean, what did she say? Did she say, must read this and what?
I would ask something, and she'd say, "Read it yourself." And she'd find a book. She was very grim like that. And another thing, I'm bored, I don't know what to do, or to. She said, never says she got, you seem very angry with that. So in that book of the peg or something, she said about Christabel being born, was on that film we had.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't believe that, because that was not true.
Mm. She wasn't a bored person.
No, and she wouldn't allow, mother wouldn't allow anybody to be bored. She said, don't be bored, you've got a brain, think for yourself. She was firm about this.
Mm.
Absolutely firm. And another thing she was grim about, of course, was stick to your principles and your truth, you know, don't change your horses at all. And she's grim about that, which is excellent. It was very good. She showed herself, didn't she?
Mm. Oh,
she did all the humiliations she did, and the way she stuck to her guns, mm. even though she must have seen a losing battle going on.
Did she ever talk to you about women's suffrage or women's position or anything like that?
No.
That was too old for you in a way, I suppose.
And so when my guardian, I kind of stuck my toes in and said something against something, and she said, Mrs. Pankhurst has done you more harm than good, or something against mother, whom I adored, and that's the wrong thing to say to me. I'd say, mother never taught us anything about law and order or politics. She never did. We didn't know what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
We knew she was important because people kowtowed to her, and she went to meetings, and people watched and saw her. We heard her speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, her voice, of course, this is again mentioned in he's famous, is her voice was so sweet and gentle, charming, very, really charming, and it would carry. So it was an extraordinary gift that. I don't know how she did that, but...
Why were you so...
She was a child of that.
This is interesting. Everybody says that she had a very good voice, a very soft voice, and yet very clear.
Sure. Yes.
But, Mrs. Hodgson, one thing which tells me is you say she was very strict with you and really quite impatient when you when you said you were born or whatever, and yet you're obviously very fond of her. Why were you fond of her?
I don't know. Maybe it really came from Auntie Kate as a child. I couldn't tell you this because she was our God. She was everything to us. And nothing better but mother. Didn't matter if Auntie Kate was cross or the dog had died, or anything, as long as mother was there. Terrific. And when she went away to speak, she came back. It was terrific. We were absolutely, all of us were bursting with joy seeing mother again.
Mm.
Mother. And yet I can't remember her ever cuddling or kissing us. She wasn't like that at all. She never took us on the knee or cuddled us. But she was fascinating. But when she did tell us anything, I can't really remember what she told us. But it wasn't exactly stories. It must have been things that are true stuff. Like, she was talking about the heroines of the days, of the years, like Joan of Arc was one, and Curie, and all these
Madame Curie.
Yes, all these people.
Mm. Mm.
She did promote this. I must say, she did say that about women. And Jane Austen, authors. Mm. Now, Jane Austen and Charlotte Bronte, of course, that's another thing that came up. I remember all this from a long time ago. And she said, think of those people, and they weren't taught to write, and they didn't know how to write, and they didn't even know they could produce a book, and they did it. And they said, this is my work. And all the doctors starting up, you know, Gary Dennis and all else, all beginning for nothing.
So
she
do you think...
She did it with all this.
Mm. Do you think the whole idea of her upbringing then is to let your talent flower, in a sense?
Yes.
Not to really force things on you, but to try and get you to educate yourself.
So whether she thought with these three little creatures, that because Christopher really disappointed her, Sylvia, I'll tell you a bit more about Sylvia presently. Mm. But whether she thought these three little flowers would show something that the others had failed in, because I think she must have been rather disappointed in the family, of her family. But really, she'd given them too much. She'd shown them how to do it, and they did it, didn't they? They grew up, and they grew away from it, and had their own ideas. Now, Sylvia, we were staying with Aunt Ada, that's Ada Gundenbach.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Enid's still alive.
Yes, she is, yes.
That's her niece. Anyway, we were sitting at Aunt Ada, and we were all sitting down to tea. It was a polite tea again, sitting around the circle, not the table tea. And we were sitting up, and the door opened, and this lady came in. And I must have seen her photographs under, because I knew it was Sylvia. She came in, and mother said, mother, put her cup down. I can remember this. I must have been about 11 then. Put a cup down there, quite a crack, and she got up, and she walked out. She walked straight past this lady, this woman, and went upstairs to her room and shut her bedroom door, and nothing would make her come down. And it was Sylvia. And she cried and she cried. She sat there and she cried. And Aunt Ada was giving her tea and trying to comfort her, the others. And she cried, cried, and cried, and because she couldn't get Mother to speak to her. That must have been, not long before Mother died, 27, 28.
Yes.
And there was a real feud on there, and we never did find out why she broke her off with Sylvia, and I'm still not very clear about it from the book or from the...
Yes.
Now,
oh, yes. Did you really? You saw her there, did you?
No, I didn't see her, but she was around that part of the country, all around the country.
Yes.
And of course, she was running this newspaper, and she was very highly considered by Hans Lassie and all his...
She was. That's quite true.
And from what I heard, she did very good work.
Oh, she
was
did.
Excellent. I fancy living out there all those years. I think she did
many... You say that, you know, the main thing was to get you reading books and to get you self-motivated.
Yes,
to speak.
Yes.
What else, what other things about your upbringing do you remember? Quite a lot of discipline, I suppose. Was there an emphasis on art or dancing or anything
yes.
like that?
We all used to dance. And again, she used to encourage us that we had to always had to, must have been a record player or something, and she put on things, ages ago, always Mendelssohn, Bumblebee thing, you know, anyway.
Oh, yes.
All
yes.
this dancing music. And we used to flit around, and she used to say, now, do what you think. Well, who is the woman who was killed?
Oh, it's Dora Duncan,
yes.
Yes,
this kind of thing. Mm. It's, you know, all the flowery attitudes. And we did it, you know. And she took us to ballet. We saw Pavlova over in Canada.
Yes.
That was when I was very young. And we were fascinated. I think we were all fascinated. I don't think we discussed amongst ourselves, but we all loved this ballet. It was gorgeous. And she said, we listened to music a lot. She had a lot of records. And again, no radio, of course, records, you see.
Yes.
She took us to, must have taken us to concerts. We were used to sitting still and listening to music.
Yes.
I don't suppose we appreciated it, but we had to just listen.
What about clothes, Mrs. Hodgson? Did you have to... Yes. Did you dress in childish clothes, or did she have ideas about what clothes you should wear?
It must have been old-fashioned, because I told David Mitchell it was Kate Greenaway stuff. Well, it was Kate Greenaway stuff, because we were all three dressed alike, always. And people always said, because we looked so nice. The three little things, all dressed alike. We always had very pretty clothes, rather nice. But I do remember it was old-fashioned. And when we got to, again, I'm going on for a little older day, when Elizabeth and I were alone, left the two, or the four, and we were in Paris, and we were dressed all kind of lacy flounce, I think, and boots, kid boots with buttons and things on, and great big floppy hats. And we really were freaks, but Paris loved us. They thought we were marvellous. Of course, Mother was complete at home in Paris, and I remember people coming up to her and asking her about us, you know. And yes.
When you say she was completely at home in Paris, how did you know that? I mean,
she was very voluble, very easily, talked very easily, and she let us free. She didn't control us at all in Paris, and she was always seemed to be out. And she gave us, Elizabeth and I, this was roller skates. And when they were out, we had a flat in Paris, when we were out, we skated all around the boulevards alone for hours and hours, nearly all day, and they didn't know where we were. Christopher and Mother did not know where we were, and we went all around those boulevards. I'd love to go and walk around Paris again now and see if I could remember anything.
So you didn't, in a way, you had quite a lot of discipline, in a way you didn't have
any yes,
much.
Yes,
I mean,
very loose. Yes,
really?
Very odd, very
yeah.
odd. And you see, when we came into Mother's presence again, we were like little angels. We behaved beautifully.
What about manners generally? I mean, was she very anxious to have you with good, make you have good manners?
I suppose so. We didn't speak unless we were spoken to, kind of thing.
Mm.
We didn't burst out like modern children today.
No.
We had to kind of wait and speak.
Mm.
But she would say, if we were silent or we were talking rubbish or something, she said, "Now, why do you say that?" She'd always make you think, you see. She wouldn't say it, let you repeat somebody else's words. She'd make you think. The same idea as being bored. You've got a brain, use it.
Yes, yes. So in some ways it sounds very rather a good upbringing.
Yes.
But if she didn't mother you or cuddle you or whatever,
yes.
as mothers do,
yes.
and if she was quite strict in some ways, did you like her for other things? I mean, what did you like her for, really? Partly for her voice, I suppose. She had such a nice voice.
Oh, I don't know. She was Mother. I still feel the same now.
Mm.
She was our God, the sun and the moon.
Mm.
It didn't matter if we lost everything we'd got, and again and again in our travels we had to leave our treasure behind, like teddies behind, or precious books, or some precious things we collected, like lovely shells. And says, I remember having disposable, and we didn't care as long as we got Mother to go with. Always Mother.
And this was Aunt Kate's attitude that you probably absorbed.
I suppose it was.
Can you tell me a bit more about Aunt Kate? I mean, Mrs. Pankhurst was her god as well.
Yes, she was a nurse
and quite strict with you. If you had to sort of write her biography or something, what sort of woman was she, would you say?
Aunt Kate, well, I shouldn't think she was terribly well educated, but, well, this great loyalty to Mother was a thing. And when she was nannying us, she seemed a bit reluctant about combing our hair or seeing our hair, we were brushing our teeth, and things like this. Annoyed, I know this. She must have been quite cross with us a lot of the time, because I suppose she was doing it for Mother's sake. So what happened when we were in bed, I think we must have gone to bed quite early each day. I don't know whether she went down and sat with Mother, or was around, or what it was, or helped Mother with things, or I don't know what she was.
But she taught you a bit, Aunt Kate, did she? I mean, she did a bit.
She made us read. I mean, if we were not doing anything, she'd give us something to read, or make us practice these pot hooks and things, or and draw it. But really, she wasn't keen on drawing needles. She took us out to walks. Again, rather impatiently about these walks, if I remember rightly, as if we were wasting her time doing it, but she was doing it.
That's interesting.
At Mother's funeral, I was taken along to the tour. I wasn't supposed to go to the cemetery, but anyway, I was taken along to go to the church. And of course, I was shattered. I couldn't believe that Mother had gone. And I remember the first thing when I was told she had died, I was away with a subject in the country, and I was told she'd gone. And I couldn't believe it. And the first thing I realised how selfish it was for me, I said, oh, she couldn't have gone and left me. She wouldn't have left me. You know, I couldn't believe it that she'd have left me. It was very selfish, again, me. But,
she
was everything to us. Yeah.
What about Christabel, Mrs. Hodgson? Did you see very much of her?
In and out, but really after the two children had gone, we were in France. And you know about we went to Paris first, then we went down to Aunt Eve and Joan Leclerc and opened this Good Hope Cafe.
Yes, yes.
Really,
you were there, weren't you?
Auntie Pansy and Mrs. Tuke, that was.
Yes.
And those three were there. And it must be the most eccentric tea shopping. It was the old tea shopping of all time.
Yeah.
And their Auntie Christabel was there. Yes. But
you called her Auntie Christabel, did you? I see.
And I think I and the other two thought she was most unjust, because we were punished for things like no jam for a week. Old-fashioned punishments like this. No jam for a week, or we couldn't have that book, we couldn't read that book for a week. And that was another punishment, take away some precious book we loved dearly. And Elizabeth wasn't punished at all for anything.
For doing the same thing?
Christabel, yes, we all would do it in the same gang, whatever we were doing at that time. And Aunt Christabel would say to her, why do you do it, darling? And we were furious in our little baby minds, because we used to stand on the sidelines, all kind of bereft of whatever treat it was. And there was Elizabeth eating her strawberries and cream. We weren't having any, because why did you do it, darling?
I bet you took it out on her afterwards, didn't you? I mean,
oh, no, I don't think we did.
We weren't vengeful like that.
I don't know. We were a bit brainless like that. We hadn't got revenge. We were.
But I'm not quite clear. There were three of you, and their names, it was you and who were the other two?
Joan and Kathleen.
Joan and Kathleen.
Yes.
And they were all adoptees of Mrs. Pankhurst.
Yes.
And but you were all brought up together with Christabel's Elizabeth.
Yes. Except when Christabel went away on her speech-making or her to-dos, and Elizabeth wasn't there. But we seemed to see her off and on for quite a while. Now, perhaps for, I think it must have been 2 years, couldn't have seen her. That was when we got to Canada. And I think Christabel was in Boston this time.
Took Elizabeth with her wherever she went, did she?
Yes.
I see.
So whether she put her to bed and got up in the morning, I don't know, because I haven't seen any of them domesticated.
Yes, I see. Was she very fond of Elizabeth? Presumably she was. I mean,
I think so,
she had that attitude.
Yes. And Mr. Mitchell wrote me a very sad letter about Elizabeth, because he was trying to trace her, and that she married an American, she parted from Christabel, she went to Oxford, she didn't get her degree, she Kate Fritcher, we had a very good time, enjoyed ourselves thoroughly at Oxford, I think. And went off to America as a governess to an envoy's son, and then married an American. And as far as you can make it, kind of drifted away. The bad marriage was bad, and he thinks she was a drinker, became a drinker, and went on the wrong road, and he thinks she's dead. Well, it doesn't sound quite right, really. So I hope it's not true, because it does sound sad. Because
what about the
this
other
very
two,
girl?
Yeah.
Well, the other two, Kathleen was adopted by a reporter on the Evening Standard.
Mm.
And I was lodged down there for a while. My mother was in London living in Wapping, just before she
died.
She was living in Wapping.
Yes.
And she couldn't have me at the moment because she was doing all this canvassing herself
in
Parliament. She's 28 this was now.
Mm.
And so I was lodged with the adoptive parents of Kathleen.
Mm.
And Joan, now Joan was, say, on the market when she was 10 years old, and Miss Beavis, this spinster lady, saw or had her on trial. This sounds awful about children, but it's absolutely true. And she had her on trial. And so she said, I'd love this one, I'll have this child, because she's so beautiful, Joan, this was Joan. But then the Adoptive Society said, wrote to her and said, well, the Russells up in Scotland have seen Joan, and they would love to have her, and they would give her a good home, they're wealthy people, And so Miss Beavis stood down, because she was a spinster lady, and she said, well, I think the advantage of the child is so great, let her go. And she went off to these people, Russell, who had a place in Argyll and a place in Edinburgh. I don't know what they were exactly, but quite big people. And so Joan was adopted there. So, when, 2 years or 3 years later, another child came on the market. This is terrible again. Mary came on the market. Of course, knowing Joan from Mrs. Packer's stable, oh, yes, I have Mary. Well, she must have the shock of her life. She took me kind of sight unseen.
This is Miss Beavis again. Yes, I see, yes.
She took me sight unseen, and of course she had a very different kettle than she. Jo was such a sweet girl.
I'm sure you were sweet as well. What happened then?
I was a redhead fury, you know.
Mm.
And of course, that was the most unfortunate time. I was 13 years old, and being taken from mother and put down with somebody else, well, nobody else would do.
Very difficult. Yeah.
And it was. I'm so sorry now, because I do see she was full of kindness and wish to have a nice child with her and bring her up and have a companion for life. That's what you want to be, is a companion.
Yes.
And there was I really revolted against everything on principle, won't you?
So what happened then? Did you break away from Miss Beavis then eventually?
I was with her 5 years. And we really were warring a bit when I was about 17, of course. We were warring a bit, and it was pretty awful. And she didn't know what she was going to do with me. I really had no idea I was going to earn my living. No idea at all. I don't think I'd seen anybody who had earned their living.
Mm.
And I thought I was going to write books, to the house to write books. I really had no idea. And it was quite a shock, I suppose. I was 17, when I just got to senior Cambridge. They came to me and I said, now what are you going to do? I don't think I realised I had to earn my crust at all. Anyway, so Miss Beavis, again, just shows how sensible she was. She sent me off kind of day nursing in a hospital just to try it out. This was no money, just for Bob to work. See, I liked it. Of course, I did like it.
Mm.
And so I went into nursing, which is the best thing I could do, because one thing, lived away from home, because we were getting on rather badly now.
Most teenagers
wills.
Do anyway.
There's two strong wills. I was strong willed and quite a mind, and a temper, terrible temper.
Yes.
And Miss Beavis was a very strong willed lady too.
So did you lose contact with her eventually?
No, I went back to, she wouldn't let me leave Brighton where I went to school until I was 21. So I stayed down there and nursed there, and then went up to London and finished did my training in London. But I kept on going back to her all the time. Went up to Edinburgh midwifery and kept on going back to her.
Did you? Yes.
So I went to see her. And then I went abroad. I went and asked her. This is odd about her. This is she shows a lot of Mrs. Packer's trays.
Was she a suffragette, actually, Miss Beavis?
She was all for women being recognised and brave.
Mm.
She didn't like being thought inferior to men. I know that. But she was certainly against mother chaining herself to railings. And lighting up death boxes, and she told me quite a lot of the awful things mother did. And I said, mother never did that, you know. I was so loyal, fierce, and I can't imagine mother bawling out like that. She couldn't bawl, you know. Anyway, that was it.
So she died eventually, Miss Beavis,
didn't
she?
Yes, she did.
Yes.
I was going abroad, I said to her, what do you think about going abroad as a clinical nurse? And she said, you must do as you like. And I realise now what she was hurt about. She wanted me to be her companion, stay with her, be a loving child for the rest of my life.
Mm. Well, that's not.
And I went abroad, and I kept on coming back, and I got married, and I came back, and she saw two of the children, two of the babies. Of course, she was thrilled with the babies.
Oh, that's good.
She was very interesting little babies. Yes. It was quite nice.
What about Kathleen and Joan then?
Kathleen,
have they now?
She was in a boarding school, and when I saw her, I was with these adopted parents of hers, and she was very good at all PT and stuff, and I believe she wanted to. She told me now, because I'm great friends with Kathleen. Kathleen's my best friend, those lot.
Yes.
And I think she wanted to be a games mistress, I don't know what happened, she lost touch. And Joan, of course, went to this wealthy family, and she used to write back to Miss Beavis on her birthday.
Oh, yes.
Miss Beavis loved her so dearly. And she went to her. Lots of sport and things, and she won some yachting championships up in the Cowes, beautiful. I've got a photograph of Joan, I can show you.
Yeah, that's quite well, did you? I mean, apart from Elizabeth being rather sort of spoiled in comparison, you all got on quite
well. Oh, yes, very well. Yeah. I'm most interested to see them now. I really would. And I don't think we'd be a bit shy. We just pull each other's leg and say, well, I think we knew each other so well. No, we wouldn't.
What about Mrs. Pankhurst's or your mother's attitude to careers? Did she say that you were going to do certain things any of you? Did she have any suggestions about careers and so on? Or was it too early, really, in your lives while she was alive? Because you would be about, when she died,
remembering,
but you'd be
because,
about 14 or so.
She used to encourage me to write, I know. I don't know what she said to the others. Mm. But I was always writing little fairy stories or little poems or quoting stuff. Or misquoting, rather, quoting something, adding a line of my own, you see, very clever, and a bit of copycat this. And she used to say, write me, write whatever you think, write it, write it. Mm. And it was all the time was, don't be lazy, don't be bored, do something with it, you know, do,
yes,
work it.
Yes, yes. Did she talk to you about current affairs or politics or anything when you used to see her? I mean,
no. Mm. We were very
young.
We didn't know what she was doing at all.
No.
We just didn't know at all.
So you were in London, what, for about, I mean, to start off with, for about sort of 4 years or so?
Yes, it must have been about 4 years old. I think you can trace that. I was born in 1915. She must have, she adopted us in 1915, that's right, the autumn 1915. And then she must have gone abroad, and we joined her in. Was the end of the war, wasn't it? About 1920,
yes.
In Canada.
I see. Whereabouts in Canada was
it? It was
that?
In Vancouver then.
Oh, yes.
Vancouver. And
in a house, was that? Or
yes, it was a house she had.
Yes.
And King Charles Street, something in Vancouver, anyway. And then we went around the Panama. We must have, because we were so long going.
Mm.
And I remember the hot, we had hot weather. Hot
what,
weather.
On a trip with her, you mean?
That was with her. So Mademoiselle took us.
Oh,
out.
I
think
see,
Mademoiselle
yes.
must have worked her ticket.
I see.
Maybe Mother paid the fare. For the girl to bring us out, you see.
Nice.
Maybe she wanted to get to Canada.
So you, when you got to Canada, what was Mrs. Pankhurst doing? Was she just living in this house?
Yes, she was talking. She was speaking.
I see. But she was based on that.
She was in Vancouver.
House.
Then we went to Toronto after that.
You moved to
yes,
Toronto.
Yes, went to
I
Toronto
see.
After. That. So we must have been about 4 years, I suppose, off and on. Must have been about 4 years.
Four years in Vancouver.
In Vancouver and Toronto.
Two years,
I think.
So what did you see more of her when you were in Canada, or was it still only at tea time, sort of 4 o'clock or so?
Oh no, chiefly tea time.
Was it really? And it was still really Aunt Kate who was really bringing
Aunt
you
Kate,
up all
yes.
the time.
And then she took me on a trip. She went up to Marie-Sau-Sue, a long trip, and she had a woman driver and I suppose a secretary type, and things. There were four of us anyway in the car, and. We went through Burning Forest and all this business, and she was speaking all over again. We had night stops, I know this, we must have been away for about a week or 10 days, and she had taken me. So whether I was a favourite, I don't know. But, I mean, I like to think I'm the favourite. But
she didn't normally distinguish between the three of you then? She,
no,
did she, I mean,
we didn't realise she did. No.
She treated you all
yes,
really
also,
fairly.
Except she took me on this trip. On this,
except for that, yeah.
That was the only trip that she took any of us on.
Yes. So then you had 4 years in Toronto, and she was living in a house then,
yes,
in the same
yes,
way.
Yes.
And then you came, what happened then?
Went to Bermuda after that.
Did you?
Yes.
For how long there then?
Well, we were in two houses there. I think it was about, it couldn't have been 2 years, because our ages are going on past.
Mm.
We meant 8 years old.
Shorter period.
We
meant
8 years old, we got to Bermuda. I was eight.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been nearly 2 years. Mm. He was about 10 when we came back, that's right. Mm. And we were out there, we were there in two different houses.
I suppose. What was she doing there? Because there's not much speaking to be done
know.
In Bermuda.
I don't, I couldn't tell you. Mm. And there she was more mother, because of course Auntie Kate had gone now, so she was motherling.
I see, so yes. Auntie Kate left after yes. Toronto,
yes.
did she?
Yes, she went away, and I then see. We all went out there. Then the two younger children, not two younger children, two other children, Kathleen and Joan, they came home.
What, they were after sent Bermuda?
From Bermuda.
From Bermuda,
yes.
I see, and that's, then you split up at
yes,
that point.
Yes, that's it, and then yes. Aunt Christopher was there then with us and Elizabeth. So Elizabeth and Mary and myself were left, and
yes.
the other two went home for readoption to England.
I see.
I couldn't tell if they were heartbroken or upset, I don't know, I can't
yeah.
remember. It was all rather exciting. Ooh, going on the ship, hooray, you know.
I'm sure.
And now you will be
going
with
Mrs.
Smith.
Your life was full of excitement.
She got Mrs. Smith to kind of take the children home. Very casual, a bit kittenish, you know.
Yes, well, so you don't think this is odd as a child, you just sort of follow on with whatever the adults do.
Full of confidence.
But,
all the time, and she always made us that, stand on your own feet. Don't lean on anybody else, don't wait for this. And if you're lost, this is what you should do. We had lots of strict instructions about being lost. And we all had our passports, all kind of green cards, or it was to have when we came out to America.
Mm.
And again, when we travelled with Mother, we all got our own, not ticket, but our own passport or papers.
When you were in Bermuda, you said Mrs. Pankhurst was more of a mother to you in a way. What, she did everything there then, did she? I mean, you didn't have anyone
yes, well,
in the
house. Servants, there were Bermudian
oh,
servants. Well, it's well like a colonial life.
I see.
So there would be servants to kind of wash and look after
mm.
and everything else.
Mm.
But it was, but Mother was the only word, of course, there.
Mm.
She gave me authority.
Did it make much difference to you? I mean, that she was sort of more around? I mean, did she teach
oh,
you more?
If I remember, oh no, I can't
mm.
remember sitting down teaching us anything,
mm.
talking at us perhaps, off and on all day, when we saw her. And again, no cuddles, no affection, no come down, come on darling. It's all Mary or Kathleen.
At a distance,
always,
really.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Always the name. And we always promised we were very good, we'd get the name Pankhurst, of course. We never knew when we'd get there, but we were very good, literally. And it was a great ambition to get the name Pankhurst. So it's funny that Elizabeth, who was given the name Pankhurst, relinquished it as soon as she got it. That's
did
what
she?
Mr. Mitchell wrote, yes. She went there as a Pankhurst to college, and she changed her name there.
Did she really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing that, to change her name. She was the only one who got it.
So in Bermuda you saw quite a lot of Christabel as well, didn't
yes.
you? They were both
yes.
there together,
yes.
really, were they?
Yes.
Yes. What was she like then? Was she was in her religious phase, of course.
Yes, she
then.
Was. And she was writing. We didn't see her a lot because she didn't sit away and write. She was eccentric. She wore most, even to us, she was not the same as other people.
That's safe.
She wore her hair in, the way she's always depicted as a young Christabel, pleading a case in court, that's how she wore her hair still,
mm.
and flowing garments,
mm.
and a very dramatic speak. I suppose it was attractive, as well, this pleading your case in court, I suppose the same kind of act.
Mm.
Kind
you mean even at home she'd be like
yes,
that.
Yes.
Mm.
Very descriptive. Very descriptive talking.
Was she eccentric in other ways to live with in Bermuda that you can remember? I mean, can you remember anything else about her?
Just vaguely, something like flouncing away from a table or during the middle of a meal. Of course, we weren't allowed to leave a table. We weren't allowed. We were very strictly, if we were sitting around a table, we sat there till everybody finished. But she would leave in the middle of a meal. Again, we didn't think much of it because she was always doing it.
Yes,
or,
I understand.
We'd go into Hamilton, we had to go across the little ferry, and she'd part from Mother. Perhaps we were all going to the library, and Mother had to take us everywhere, kind of trail us around with her. We didn't really know what she was doing. But see if we all went to the library. She went to the library, and we all sat outside waiting for Mother. And Christabel would be away, gone. And then Mother would come out and say, "Oh, well, we'd better go home then." That kind of thing. I can remember this vaguely, but I couldn't really put a name to it, honestly.
Mm. That's
not
very,
truly.
Very interesting.
Not truly. But she was writing. Christabel
was
writing.
She
was
very sort of temperamental.
You sit around sitting on a down this kind of water garden, water everywhere. You see, and sit on the windbreak. And she'd be swimming like this, you know, quite away out of this world, not listening to us at all.
She didn't try to influence you in religion,
no,
at all.
No.
Mm.
not at all.
What about religion generally? Did Mrs. Peck have...
No, she didn't. No, she didn't. And Auntie Kate will have taught us our prayers, and she would have told us Bible stories. I think Auntie Kate did do that, because we did know the Bible stories. I suppose she must have known quite well. Moses and the burning bush, and all the ones that are quite vivid. And,
but you weren't made to go to church.
And, what's his name?
Lot's wife.
Colour coat, yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Jacob,
all this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew it very well. And, of course, you read the Bible.
Yes.
I suppose it's all we've got. And we read it like a history. I told Mrs. Mitchell this. And we read it not as a religious work at all, as a history passed down from mother to mother. Think of that. And we marvel at it when we could recite peace out of it.
Would
we argue backwards and forwards who's the son of who and who's something else.
What about Shakespeare? Did you do the same with Shakespeare?
Quite a lot, yes. But of course, some kind lady gave us Lamb's
tales.
And Mother found us for this. We were all absolutely eat it, gobbling this up. It's nice and easy to eat, you see, after all the heavy stuff we were used to. And she snatched away from us. She wouldn't let us have it. She gave us Shakespeare himself to read, you see. We had to struggle along with it. We used to ask her about things like words or descriptions. I mean, I suppose she must have gone to long descriptions about this and that.
What about food and drink and things like that? Did Mrs. Pankhurst involve herself with preparing food and things for
you? I've thought of this many a time. I've never seen her make a cup of tea, boil an egg, never. And yet in Paris we had no servants, and in Turin we had no servants. Before that, of course, she think Aunt Kate would cope, or she had a maid.
Yes, I mean,
and in Bermuda again, we would have had servants.
Yes,
but,
I see.
After that, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you.
What happened then? You've left Bermuda now.
Yes.
Where do you go from there?
We came home to England, almost just touched down in England, and then went straight to Paris.
I see, where they were both living, is that right?
Mother and Christopher were there, and we had a flat there and in Paris. And Avenue Victor Hugo. And when I told somebody this, they said it's a very fashionable part. I said, oh, it wasn't. Because as far as I can remember, it wasn't fashionable. Anyway, it was fairly high up one of the buildings. It couldn't have been very posh, because surely Mother couldn't have afforded a big rent. And maybe it was lent to her by a great friend. I mean, a lot of admirers must have lent her places to live, I think.
Because everyone says Mrs. Pankhurst absolutely loved Paris. Both she and Christabel loved it.
Yes.
And did you feel that when you were there?
Yes, that's why I said she seemed at home in it, you see.
Yes.
And that's where they left us a lot. I think they were enjoying themselves, those two. I bet they did. And thank goodness they had such sensible children as we were. We never got lost. And yet we were out all the time. We kept ourselves going.
They got on very well together, did they, Christabel and her mother? I mean, on the whole.
I think so, yes. I can never imagine them quarrelling.
Not like Sylvia.
Except that, as I say, Christabel used to kind of isolate herself sometimes, going to open the dream.
But
I can never remember Mother even then sitting down entertaining us or looking after us. She'd say, oh, don't bother me, I'm doing this kind of thing. And we'd have to look after ourselves. She was full of it all the time. Think for yourselves. So
you really brought yourselves up in a way.
Yes. So when I see my young daughter, you know, tenderly guiding her little thing along the way it should go, I think, my goodness, you know.
You never had that.
I don't suppose I admitted to my children either. I suppose it's a terrible mother.
Yes. What, you were in Paris for a few months, were you, or how long?
It must be maybe 6 months. Went down to Antibes. And maybe it's 6 months or 9 months.
That was a tea shop.
The EEO tea shop, it crashed, I believe.
Yes.
But I wouldn't have known it crashed.
Yes.
And then we came back to England. And that must have been 27.
Mm.
It was just before Mother died here. Anyway, and that's when she lodged me down with these people.
The journalist.
Yes, and his wife, who adopted Kathleen. And that's when she went to Wapping.
Did she explain what she was doing? I mean, did she say, now, look, I'm standing for Parliament?
No.
I see, you just...
I wouldn't have...